Welcome to the Exit 68 podcast with your co-hosts, Matt, Justin, and Ben.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the only song we should be listening to right now, because the UConn Huskies have climbed the mountain. Number five, they have won the national championship in probably the most dominant fashion I think I've seen in a while. I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore. It happened about 5 days ago by now. A lot of us down in Houston, a lot of Huskies fans, It didn't even feel real. A lot of people crying in the stands. It was a bit anticlimactic, I would say, because none of the games were even that close before it got down to 5 minutes. San Diego State, about 5 minutes left, got it down to five. Jordan Hawkins hits the three, you know, to wave him goodbye there. You know, then Newton kind of gets downhill a little bit, finishes the game out. But guess what? Details don't really matter, because no one asks these questions 10, 15 years later. All they see is those banners, and we got fucking five of them, and I couldn't be happier about it. Doug, it feels great to be a UConn Husky, man.
Yeah, I mean, they dominated. That tournament was awesome. I think going into the Final Four, we talked about it a little bit in the last pod, but like the inevitable close game that was going to happen just didn't happen. They just continued to beat the shit out of everyone. The only runs in recent history that felt like this were, I mean, 2018 Nova was stacked. I think they had a similar point differential in 2009 North Carolina team that sent like five guys to the NBA after they won it all with Hainsborough and Ty Lawson and those guys. So unbelievable. I'd love to see everyone on Twitter just get so mad at UConn won, trying to pull out all the excuses. We didn't beat any teams. And just even better yet, some of the receipts that Hot Balls and those guys kept from like 2019 to now, just re-quote tweeting them and just putting people in body bags, has been awesome.
I think I might have liked about 200 tweets this week that happened, you know, months to years ago. And it's just a big smile every single time, because as much as we didn't want to admit it, and I may never admit it, even though, you know, we talked about this a little bit in past years on the show, you know, when they're making those tweets about Hurley not able to win a NCAA game, you know, think of how low we were and deep rooted in our minds. I think we all were a little kind of, you know, thinking the same thing at the time, where is this just who we are? You know, are we just going to be the team that can't get over the hill here? And guess what? You get over the hill against Rick Pitino and you don't fucking look back. Like you said, one of the most dominant tournament runs of all time. And they did it not with, you know, four NBA starters, but just with an unbelievable collection of talent. And really, we talked about at the beginning of the season, man, these puzzle pieces just fit together so well. They had the answers to the test, I think, by the end of the year, based on whatever way you wanted to kind of attack them. They kind of knew themselves and they knew how to get the most out of every single player on that roster. And it was just unbelievable to watch. I just want to start here. I think, you know, there's a little recency bias. It's definitely one of the better UConn teams I've ever seen, just top to bottom. You know, the really only weakness is you could point at lead guard play at times, but besides that, man, I mean, this team is just so well-rounded. What can you tell me about them?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, kind of point guard by committee, no Shabazz, no Kemba on this team, but I mean, Tristan fucking put up 19 and 10 in the ship. So I know he was happy to give the middle finger at all the haters from January after that. But
Aaron Jones was fired up for him. I love to see
Aaron Jones on the sideline was awesome. Just getting everyone hyped. But yeah, I mean, this team was so well balanced, like testament to Hurley, Kamani Young, Luke Murray, what they did in the portal and getting everyone on board with their role. I mean, like we were talking about with Iona down at the half, pretty much they come out, they run that action where with Hawkins coming off two screens, gets the and one three. And then that was pretty much the end of the tournament. They just went on a run after that really don't think I've ever seen in my lifetime. I know there's arguments on Twitter about who's the best team in the last 25 years, but I've never watched every single game of a tournament like that. I mean, obviously it's my team, so I'm biased, but watching every game and they're just blowing teams out, especially in the second half. I think they led for like, or trailed for like 55 seconds total in the second half.
It really was unbelievable, man. The whole time you're just kind of waiting for the foot to drop and you're like, when are they going to slow down? And it was just an absolute wave, man. Like Mark Few was lost. Like this team gave up. These were pretty good, like good teams, really good coaches in a lot of these games, and just absolutely dominated them at every point. And it's just crazy. And it all kind of led from the front court, but they didn't rely on them. You know what I mean? That's just kind of what set up everything else, because they really did just dominate at the center position, really, I think, throughout the whole entire tournament, no matter what kind of matchups, no matter who they played. It was so unbelievable to watch. And that's, you know, kind of want to ask you next is, you know, I definitely think it's one of the better teams in UConn history, just because of the different ways they can play. You know, drop coverage with Donovan. You can have that hard hedge with Sonogo, have him super switchable. It's almost like two different teams, the way they can play you on both ends of the floor. Doug, is this the best center combo that we've seen in like the last 50? I can't think of a better center combo, especially when you consider the difference in skill sets, where Rob also like to talk about this. You almost have to prepare for two different teams. I was thinking maybe Timmy and Chet, but you know, fuck them. So I don't know.
Yeah. And I think they both started. So having, like you said, like Sonogo come in and you're dumping him the ball kind of on a low block versus Klingon as more of like a lob threat and just standing back there on D, letting everyone kind of get up on their guy and play press D and take risks, even jumping in passing lanes. Because when you have the 7-2 guy back there just sending shots into the crowd, given that combination, like you said, like it's almost two different teams when they're each playing with Klingon in. It's just like, he's going to block it. Let's grab the ball and go. Maybe we'll find him in transition. Joey C is also in there, usually with him running around. I think it is the best center combo we've ever seen.
I mean, what else can you want from that? You'll have like Zach, Edie, Light, and then I don't even like Julius Randle almost. I don't even know how to describe Sonogo. Just an absolute offensive force, like down low with like one. He's got to have, he's the sweetest touch around the rim I've seen out of UConn big, you know, in a
huge,
really long time.
It ended up becoming a blowout. So it's like, not really, it was not a point of emphasis, but earlier in that game to San Diego State, they were down 8-4, 10-6, and like looked bad on offense. Like Newton was a little uncomfortable, Jackson couldn't really get in the lane, and Sonogo hit some ridiculous jump hooks to just kind of keep them okay until they got in their rhythm. And just then like, obviously it was fine, but Andy hit the two threes at the beginning of the Miami game. Like,
yeah. Those two threes are such soul crushers. You know, you don't really watch UConn. You watch the team. You're like, a lot of shooters, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, Sonogo is going to be good inside. And then Sonogo comes out and just bangs two in your face. You got to be Larinaga. You turn around and you're like, well, like, we're fucked that was, today.
That was probably their plan. They're like, we're going to let Sonogo catch the ball on the perimeter, make sure Hawkins can get open. And Sonogo, I mean, I think Hawkins hit the first one, but Sonogo bangs 2-3 early on. You're like, fuck. It's over. We did our best.
Yeah, right.
We got here.
It's so deflating. But I really think it is. I think defensively with Donovan, I don't know if I've ever seen an offensive multiple teams all year just get so afraid to shoot the ball. He gets one block and they just see him and they just freeze up anywhere near the post, man. It's crazy the effect that he has just on team defense. And like you said, I love that combo with him and Joey C, because guess what? You're going to put a, you know, semi-defensive liability like Joey C out there. What a better guy to pair him up with than Donovan.
Yeah. And it got to the point with Klingon in the game, like someone on San Diego State had a tough finish over Klingon, and like I was surprised the ball went in. Like the way he alters shots, you just don't expect the ball to ever go in when he's out there.
I know the exact one you're talking about. I think he was kind of he made a drive to the right, was kind of falling off. I saw Klingon's arm go up. I'm like, this one's going on the fourth row. And then I was like, wow, nice shot, man.
Someone finished one.
Yeah, what right. Jesus. But just, I think last really thing I want to say is just really defensive dominance. It felt like from every position with this team, you know, obviously, you know, Newt had a little bit of some turnover issues in that game, but still, man, he's 6'4" lead guard. That's the tip of your spear on defense for your starting lineup. and you look what they got behind them. They're just dominating defensively. Well, how long did San Diego State go without hitting a field goal, was it?
I think 11 minutes
Yeah.
in the first half. Just crazy. After that 10-6, 10-4 lead, whatever it was, just kind of got comfortable. Jackson got in some passing lanes and just, I mean, him staying out of foul trouble, usually you're in good shape in the first half, but it was almost like in the watching that game in person, you just felt like San Diego State couldn't do anything. They looked so uncomfortable. Yeah, like you said, just defensive domination. I think the stat was the point differential with you that UConn had holding every team under 65 has never happened before. I mean, I know they have so many stats in that tournament that have never happened before, but it is pretty crazy because usually when there are those blowout games, like I think of that 2018 Nova team with Brunson, DiVincenzo, and Bridges, and like they are more so winning games like 85 to
Yeah.
70. Like they were just beating you offensively. I mean, they were good defensively as well. But to do beat teams the way UConn did and hold them to like 55 points just speaks to the identity of this team.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think it goes to my next point here, man. We talked about a little bit. This coaching staff was getting a lot of flack. You know, I was getting calls from my mom asking, you know, if this guy can coach, and I told her to just be patient. And that she doesn't know anything about basketball. Like, you know what I mean? I think I'm just so happy to see Dan up there, his whole family, Luke, Kamadi, Andrew Hurley taking out the last dribble in the game. This coaching staff deserves so much credit. Like you said, first main year of the portal, you know, this whole new setup where we have this crazy portal situation. And they basically hit on all four of their portal guys, which
Yeah.
is not how the rest of college basketball went. You know,
No,
I
at
think
all.
anyone that watches this year knew that. So you hit on four portal guys. At one point in the offseason, what we only had like four guys on the roster, and Andrew Hurley was one of them. So that's crazy. And then you come here, you add two just unbelievable freshmen. Like, a tough time keeping either of them off like a top 15, top 20 freshman list. I mean, Caravan started every game. I think he led the team in minutes. Such consistent presence. Always had a three in his bag when he needed them. Just played his game, man. Was such a good, just, you know, guy who understood what he was out there to do, and really grew a lot through the season. Then we talked about Klingon. You bring in these transfers. It's just a master class in both how to hit the portal, how to kind of build from the ground up. And these guys deserve so much credit. Last thing I'm going to say is that random dude on Twitter who's kind of blown up our playbook. You know, he took the words out of anyone's mouth when he said he's like, this is one of the best and most complex offenses I've ever seen. And you watched it during the game because like they're just a military drilled team almost with some of these sets, the way they ran them, the variations off of them. Everyone knew exactly where they needed to be every single game. They obviously had a pretty massive offense. I think it was like 180 pages of a PDF. And you know, Luke Murray is joking with Rob Doster saying that, you know, they still missed a bunch.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. And I give these guys so much credit. They worked their absolute asses off to get us to this point. And I'm so happy that we got Dan Hurley with us for the next couple of years, at least.
Yeah. I mean, going back to what you were saying about the portal, like absolute hits. Newton and Joey C get a lot of love, but Aline was unbelievable in the tournament. Diarra didn't play as much as I expected, but you kind of had to shorten the rotation somewhere. It's hard to play nine guys when you want to give your best players as many minutes as possible. But Aline had some huge buckets where like we were
And
up
great day.
20 and is at our second best on ball defender, probably second best defender behind Jackson.
Yeah, no, he had some huge shots.
They would kind of the other team would go on a run, get it down to like 13 or something, and then Aline tough take to the hoop. But yeah, it's just so fun to watch. I'm stealing this from someone on Twitter, but this, like, we saw the championship our freshman year at UConn, obviously, but this one just felt different. And it was almost like it is like the 1999 one for our generation. Like, we had to watch everything get torn down to be built back up.
It really felt so, it felt like climbing the mountain again from all the way at the bottom. You know what I mean? You're with Calhoun for so long. You know, you're only gonna go down a couple of base camps. It's an easier climb back up, kind of no matter who you have right after a guy like that. And I mean, we were all the way at the bottom, man. And
Yeah.
it was not fun. I actually was watching some highlights of the prior seasons. Like, you forget some of the guys that were playing a lot of minutes on some of these teams and how bad the basketball was. And it feels so good. I'm feel so happy for Dan. And like you said, this one was just, it felt so good because of how far they had to come and how quickly they did it. And we're obviously so invested in this program every year. Like, we were there and it was bad. It was really, really bad. You have Vance Jackson at the bar saying, this is the worst coach I've ever had in my life. And you're sitting there after Nickel, like, well, maybe we're just not good anymore. And, we weren't for a couple of years. So thank you, Dan, for everything that you did. Absolutely love you so much. Anyone that questions his coaching can absolutely go fuck themselves with a fence post. And I'm just happy, man. Just really happy for everyone involved with this program. Last shout out, Joey Calcaterra. We were making fun of him when he saw him in the portal. We're like, oh, this is a practice guy. Good luck if this kid ever sees the floor. And I think in some ways that was kind of the coaching staff's plan. They're like, yeah, we'll see. Like, I don't know, San Diego, like, who knows? And came in, fan favorite, Joey California, hitting big threes, played his role to perfection. And there's just so many stories like that with every kid on this team. So thank you to the 2022, 23 UConn Huskies, man, and the whole coaching staff and everyone involved, because it was one of my favorite runs and favorite times to be a Husky fan of my whole life, including being on campus, like you said, our freshman year.
Yep, agreed. It felt different. Do you, Matt, do you have any memorable, like, do you have a most memorable moment from this tournament? I feel like it's hard to pick one. Like, I was thinking about it. I mean, Hawkins three against Iona, which kind of turned everything around. Hawkins three against San Diego State when they
Yep.
cut it to five.
Those are the
I
two
mean,
for
maybe
me.
Jackson's dunk, fast break dunk against Miami. But I didn't feel like there was like a shoot since
Because it
no
was
game was
never really that
close.
close. Yeah, it wasn't that
Yeah.
stressful. It's not like I think, yeah, it's got to be the Hawkins two threes, man. You asked me right after that Iona game. I was like, if he missed that three coming out of the second half, like, I think we might have lost.
Yeah, it was getting scary. And given our history and kind of like the pressure, especially guys who've been on the team last year, like Jackson and Sanogo would probably be feeling had he not hit that. It was just kind of like a big breath of relief. But he hit it and here we are. So
Yeah, I mean, the greatest moment in the tournament might have been when we saw Jordan Hawkins go out for warm-ups after the fucking Calamari incident.
yeah. And I mean, I think they said someone else said this, but he hit that first three, which was just huge because then Miami's keying on the rest of the
Yeah.
game, regardless of how good he's
He was
feeling.
not feeling too good.
Yeah. And he didn't play much. You saw a lot of Aline that game. Aline might have had more minutes than Hawk, but
How
once
about
again, he played great.
Old Dusty Tom's stat, kind of
Which one?
showing to that with the depth this team, we talked about it. I believe it was, this is Old Dusty Tom from Twitter, said that no one on the UConn team averaged over 30 minutes a game. And it's the first
Yeah.
time in
Oh,
UConn
right. Yeah.
history that
Yeah.
no one did that. And it's just a testament to what we've all been talking about. I think it helped with injuries for sure. It kept Adama fresh. We kind of saw him run out of gas at the end of the season. Is that even feasible every, I don't know if it is. But goddamn, it's fun to play basketball like that.
Yeah, I've never heard of that. Usually, I mean, once again, it's so weird because this team is so well balanced. Because usually in tournament games, you have one guy you just need out there. Like you see people's minutes go up, but to not have anyone average over 30 a game is truly wild. I mean, shout out Old Dusty for the stat, but that's crazy. I'm trying to think if there's any team. I mean, maybe one of those teams that was blowing other teams like 09 UNC or 2018 Nova that was blowing everyone out, but I don't think so because they didn't go as deep.
There's always a lead guard or that one big where you're like, well, like, when we take him out of the game, we're simply not as good. So we're just going to play him the whole game.
And usually, like when those teams do take the person out, like that's when the other team's going to run. And like that was just never the case for us. Like playing would come in and be like, all right, this is going to be good. We're going to. They're not going to know what to do for 5 minutes here.
Yeah, and then you take Newton out. And you get a layup on Joey C and you're feeling good about yourself, and then he just bangs a three right in your face, and you're like, well, maybe I should stop, be careful what I wish for here.
Yeah. It really was two different teams for two thirds of the game versus a third of the game with some of the bench guys in there and just Once again, a testament to how well this team is built.
I can only
It'll
pray
be.
that we could play like that next year, because it's just when you just know you have that many bullets in the gun, man, it's just, it's fun. It's so fun. You know, foul trouble. It never really felt like this team got in real foul trouble at any point in the tournament. You know, Jackson a little bit. You know, Hawkins is probably the one guy that if he picks up three or four, then you're really starting to get scared, because, you know, he's just such a different maker. But for that reason, for injuries, for just being able to play fast and wear teams down, I mean, there's just so many benefits. And obviously, in a perfect world, you do that every year. So here's to that. And, you know, hopefully we could keep this up. And this is just the Dan Hurley style of basketball.
Yep. I hope so. It'll be interesting to see what happens with everyone. Maybe we'll find out at the parade tomorrow. I mean, we know Hawker declared, which was very expected.
Yep.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him go in the lottery.
The center position is going to be so interesting. And I
Yep.
think, I mean, to me, Hawk is just built for the modern NBA, man.
Yeah. I mean, if you put him out there with LeBron or Giannis, he's catch and shoot in the corner open all day.
And he's,
Easy 12, 15 points a game. He's built for 3 and D in the NBA.
yeah, big enough to you know, do enough on D, especially as he keeps filling out that frame. And we were talking about before, man, if he got another year in the weight room and on the nutrition program and came back to UConn, I mean, he would have been just an absolute monster.
Yeah. And I briefly like
Yeah,
was
same.
talking myself into it, because like it is hard to improve certain parts of your game in the NBA because they're going to kind of pigeonhole you into a certain role depending on what team you're on. I was like, maybe he does come back and prove the handle, get a little bigger, but it's the right decision for him. And I mean, I think he can contribute literally as a rookie to an NBA team. So,
I agree. And it was great to see Hurley, you know, with him and the trophy on the announcement. Absolutely love it. I don't know if I've seen too many like that before. Then a big hug afterward. This team just absolutely loved each other so much, and I think that's a big reason why they won. But guess what? You know, the season's over. We're going to bask in it all off season. We got some other things to break down though. The city of Houston, I think, deserves some attention. We were all down there for a while. I was there for about 5 days. Shout out to the crew at 5000 Travis for taking care of us. They were amazing hosts. And, you know, we definitely had fun down there, but holy shit, it was tough to get around, Doug.
yeah, great outdoor bars, unbelievable experience. Never going back unless UConn's in the Final Four there again. I
Yeah.
don't plan on it.
No,
Just
I
so
agree.
spread out. Every Uber you're taking, it's like, how is this place also 25 minutes away?
Kind of like unfathomable for us, how bad it was. Getting in and out of the stadium was brutal. Really, if you remove the transportation issues, I think we would have had a lot more fun. But what are you going to do? Couldn't be happier down there. Hope Ted Cruz, you know, goes and fucks his own face, because he's coming after Connecticut on Twitter now. And Ted, you do not want to open up that can of worms, my friend.
Yeah, Ted does not seem like the type of guy who is going to win a Twitter battle.
No, I agree. I think obviously, you know, we're pretty obsessed with this shit here. A lot of moving pieces on the roster. We talked about the bigs a little bit. Who knows what happens to Adama? Whatever happens to him, I just, you know, thank him so much for what he gave to this program. Same thing, Newton. You know, Aline, I would love Aline back. That's a guy who I feel like
I
can be
know.
the eight guy on your roster and, you know, can come in and give you something every game. But we got a lot of freshmen coming in. Obviously, in this new era of the portal, what's your predicted starting lineup next year, Doug?
If you asked me right after the championship, I probably would have told you something different. And I feel like we'll have a better idea by Monday. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a parade announcement, but I don't think Klingon's going anywhere. There's a lot of talk about that. I think Klingon and Caravan are here to stay. I mean, Klingon might get drafted after next year, but I think those two are locks. I think Newton's gonna leave. He can play overseas. His stock's high right now. Maybe even play in the NBA Summer League and see what happens. But I think Caravan, Klingon, honestly, I think Sanogo's coming back, and I think Jackson is more of a question mark for me right now, even though everyone thinks he's coming back because his stock is up too. And I think he, like we talked about last time, can fit a certain role in an NBA team. But he seems like he wants to come back. It's kind of, he might test the draft waters and then do it. But I think we could easily be sitting here in November with Klingon, Sanogo, Caravan, Jackson, and Castle as our starting five.
With Sanogo at the four.
With Sanogo at the four. Because if he comes back, that's what he's got to do to
get
on NBA radar. Just shoot more threes, make them defend. And I think the main thing is defend smaller guys, because he's proved that he can score down low and defend centers. But can he defend Anthony Davis or someone playing on the perimeter?
I'm intrigued about Karabana at three. I've been doing that in my head a lot. I think he'll be definitely, obviously, hold up physically. I'm a little scared against putting him against a super athletic wing on the three playing D. What are your thoughts on that? It's tough to improve your footwork.
I think he'll get a lot better. I mean, he got a lot better throughout the year, and he is pretty athletic. Like, it's different when he's out there next to guys like Jackson, because Jackson's just such a freak of nature. But I do think Caravan's like kind of a closet good athlete. He gets off the ground well. And I think he'll be way more confident next year, which is honestly a huge thing. Once you are just comfortable doing what you're doing on defense, it makes a huge difference.
And I mean, at the four, he got so much better on D throughout the season. Another year of just getting bigger in that nutrition program, lifting weights and just working on ball. You know, he's got a national championship ring. That's another thing too, with all these guys coming back. It's like, I think that's such a good thing for your confidence in your mental space, whether you're a shooter, whether you're a post guy, you have a shitty day at practice, you know, you're feeling down on yourself. You come home and you just take a look and you're like, you know what? I'm pretty good at this, and I'll figure it out, and we'll figure it out. Let's get back to that mountaintop. You know, we know how to get there.
It would be awesome if they all came back. I mean, with that being said, I think if
so, who's your one? I'm sorry, Castle. You said right, and Castle. Then Ajax at the two, Karabana at the three.
Yep, Sanogo, Klingon. I think Sanogo and Klingon both have to be able to shoot to make that work. Like, I think Sanogo has already proved he can do it.
Yeah,
and Klingon has still a really good stroke. He just didn't take them. But
I think Klingon's going to be shooting threes next year for sure. I think Klingon's more of a natural. Sanogo's got touch. But that, obviously inside, but that three-pointer is like a line drive.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried about that translating, like, outside. He has this two spots, basically, you know, where I like to take threes because I'm not good on the diagonals
right
there, right?
Yeah. And he's right on the wing. It's really that left wing that he just, I feel like, shoots about 80% from there, and any other three is not going in.
Like, the thought of him playing the four and getting a kick out on a corner three. I mean, I'm not going to be very confident, but kudos to him if he could figure it out. Klingon, though, we've seen him shoot in warmups. He's got a pretty nice stroke.
He's a good stroke.
Yeah.
He reminds me of Channing Frye. I mean, they're similar size. Klingon's a way better defender than, I mean, I love Channing Frye, but he's on the 2016 Cavs national champion NBA finals team. But I don't know. His form reminds me of him, and Channing shot 40% from three in the NBA. So shooting with that five would be tough, but I think if you can bring back Sanogo and Jackson and Klingon stays, you do it. Yeah. So
I mean, that would be crazy. And just want to put in there, you know, people are freaking out about Donovan leaving, but you know, Bill was in Twitter Spaces the night. He sounded very confident that, you know, it's going to be him and Karabin next year. So we'll see. Yeah. I mean. That's really the one guy where, you know, if he left, I think I would cry.
Yeah. Connecticut kid too. It would be so sad to see him leave. I just don't see it happening, but for whatever reason, it's out there.
Yeah, no, I agree. It just doesn't fit with what I'm thinking at all.
And I think he's NBA, he's NBA bound. So the NIL money for him, I don't think is as important, especially after winning a national championship, and it seemed like he loved UConn, but we'll see. I feel like we'll know a lot more in the next week or so. Yep. We could be sitting here and every starting four of the five guys I just said are not in the starting five next year, but we'll see.
I think been thinking about it. I think if I had to put my starting five together, it's Castle, Naheem, Ajax, Karabin, and Klingon. So just to lock it in, I would feel good about that. You know, we got some dogs coming off the bench.
I think if Sanogo leaves, that I'd be very happy with that.
Yeah.
And we got a great freshman class.
I agree. And that's what I want to talk about next here.
Solomon Ball, Jalen Stewart, Jaden Ross, and Yusuf. Yeah, I mean, I honestly haven't watched all these guys. I think I've watched probably the most of Castle and Jalen Stewart.
Jalen Stewart's big boy, smooth
He's a Seattle
stroke,
guy.
likes to shoot.
Yeah, it's like 6'6", 220 or something. I think he's, because of that frame, he's going to be probably the second guy behind Castle who's playing a lot as a freshman. But I
And
mean,
that's what I wanted to
Solomon
ask,
Ball is good
'cause
too.
I have an absolute crush on Solomon Ball's game. And I, Diarra, he's a great guy. Who knows if he's on the roster next year? I would, it's scary to have two freshmen start. Ajax is there to help handle the ball, but I would feel very happy about a Stephon Castle solo ball, solo ball coming off the bench, kind of flip-flop backcourt option. I love the way that dude just attacks. He's got a big frame. He plays just angry the whole time. I think he's the one I'm most excited about. I think the one who's getting the most slept on is Jaden Ross. And he had some highlights the other day that looked pretty good. He's got a lot more bounce than I thought. He's more of a shooter, more of a thinner build. But I mean, all these kids really bring something to the table. You essentially got a 6'7" point guard in Stephon Castle, three wings, two wings of varying kind of body types between Ross and Stewart, solo ball, who's kind of another big point guard, almost like a Tristan Newton, kind of light, but a lot more twitchy, maybe a little less muscular. And then Yusuf Sangare, he's a 7 foot 185 with a little bit of handle, plays, he's listed as center. I think he's going to play the floor four, kind of like a Samson Johnson. If Samson,
That's
it w was like a, played and we could watch him. That's kind of what I'm picturing.
yeah, seeing the few highlights of Yusuf, he does like a lot of stuff pretty good for a big guy, but I think he just needs to bulk up and like get a couple post moves, because playing OTE, it's just kind of like guard ISO play and you're getting put back dunks or fast break, so kind of hard to gauge off that. But I mean, I'm excited to watch all of them.
No, me too. And I think one last thing I just want to talk about is, let's say Sanogo goes, Klingon stays. I've been thinking about this a lot. Do you have to hit the portal for a center? Because I think you do, especially just with the way this team was built last year. Even if, let's say, Samson somehow stays, you got Don, and then you have Samson and Yusef behind him. I don't feel great about that. If Don starts
Yeah, I
getting
think it
foul
depends
trouble,
on Samson.
I know, but you feel confident, having him the second option at the five next year potentially?
I just don't know. We haven't
I
seen him
don't.
enough.
I
Yeah,
know,
he's a
but
question mark for sure. And another thing with Klingon is you're probably not, you to your point, like you're not gonna get 35 minutes out of Klingon.
no.
He's too big. He's gonna get so tired.
So
So you
you could
probably
play
do.
small ball and try to mix it up with Caravan, Samson, and Yusef, but I would love to have another tree back there.
I know. I was waiting for the small ball lineup this year where you have like Caravan or Jackson even at the five,
Yeah, Jackson could kind
and
of
play
play the
zone if you
five.
need
Yeah,
to.
that's a
But
good one.
I think they could. I think they'll probably, if Sanogo leaves and or Klingon, hopefully not, but they'll probably have to hit the portal.
Klingon leaves, I mean, my brains are going to be splattered on this wall.
Yeah.
But no, I just think it's from the watching the way the team was built this year, and when you have those two hammers to kind of not have that, take that card out of the deck, per se, or out of your hand, and kind of be forced to play small ball. If Klingon gets in foul trouble, I would love to just, kind of be able to flip that right on its head like we did this year. We saw how effective it was. Just kind of wanted your thoughts there. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope we'll know more about the roster in the coming weeks. I know we got
And the coaching staff.
and the coaching staff. Fortunately for us, unfortunately for them, because they do deserve it. There's not a lot of jobs right now.
Yeah. And I did hear Jeff Goodman make a comment, I think. He was like, well, there's some jobs that may open up.
Yeah,
I'm thinking, I'm like, that would be crazy to get fired right now.
I heard that too. Yeah, I don't really see that. I don't like all the spots that he would like Kamani or someone would have gone have been filled. Like he probably could have or would have gotten that Iona job had it not already been filled, I would think. But yeah, there's just not a lot out there, and I don't think it's worth going to like a mid-major that you're not going to get paid a lot at, and risking it like you want to wait for the right job.
Yeah, and
I
I
don't
mean
know. Those guys know what's best for them.
it's a pretty sick program to work for. You got Tom Moore there, like the literal godfather. He could be the number one guy I want to have on this podcast just because he's seen it all. He's seen everything. He's also been a head coach before at a different program. Like that dude, man, his hair looks great every single game. I love what he brings to the table. You got Luke Murray, obviously up and coming, Danny, Kamani. It's just a great crew. And
yeah, I mean, bring back Tom Moore, and I think he was at URI with Hurley, right? Just such a that was a huge, like, kind of, it's like that gateway to the Calhoun era, almost, like, made you feel like we were going to be okay.
And I think it's so important to have that in a program like UConn, where you have such a storied history, where the storied history was a guy who kind of brought nothing into this absolute weapon that it is now, and also lives in the state, and was there for so long. It makes sense to have that bridge, and I'm so happy, Doug, we finally have some fucking connectivity. As Hurley said, they kind of felt like pieces of shit when they got there. They had their four trophies in their locker room in the practice facility, and they took them out because about a couple, like I think it was 8-10 months ago, because they're like, listen, those aren't ours. You know, we're not bringing them back
in
until we get one. And guess what, Doug? The trophies are coming back in because they got one. And, you know, fucking Huskies, man. Never would have thought in a million years. And that's what college basketball is, man. It's just magical. Thank you, Dan Hurley. Thank you, UConn Huskies. Can't wait to see what happens over the next couple of weeks.